My name is Zulu Sile Malomane, member of the committee.
My name is Majingus, member of the committee.
Veronica Fender is member of the committee.
My name is Solomon Tombeni, I'm the researcher of the committee.
My name is Mel Kai, I'm the Deputy Director General for Transaction.
My name is Itumela Ntlasedi, I'm the PC for Transaction.
I'm Manas Makwala, Director of Strategic Management, Monitoring and Evaluation for Transaction.
I'm Quinton, I'm the monitor from the Parliamentary Monitor Group.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Silvila Watan, Parliamentary and Cabinet Coordinator, Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Ntlazam Fairway, Committee Assistant.
Simpiwe Mgonyama, Office of the DG for Sport and Recreation.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, Osim Kizwe, the Director General, Department of Sport, Arts and Culture.
Honorable Members, we have an agenda. We have got one item on our agenda. Are we agreeing about agenda, adoption of the agenda? No one wants to adopt this agenda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm adopting the agenda as it is.
Okay. Any second?
Mama Bulos, I guess.
Why are you laughing? You know, to have the young ones in the committee, there's something which is... Honourable Members, may I have apologies to...
There's an apology from Honourable Adams, who's not feeling well.
Teko is spelling his way, so that like we just made a call.
From the DG's side.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. The Minister is currently in Cabinet. The Deputy Minister is in Morocco for the All Africa Games. And then the Director General, Mr. Mwemi, has as of the 1st of August moved to the Department of Transport. And therefore, he has assumed new responsibility. The minister then is in the process of finalizing the appointment of Ms. Somaya Khan as the acting DG for the transitional period up until then. So, that is why I'm here for now, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you, DG. You're supposed to be here every day, not now, because yesterday, as a committee, was said our staff must work as one department. So we wish that even the department, it must follow suit. because it doesn't assist this thing that was still thinking that it was separate department. Image were in the process, but we want to see it happening, that we are working together. When we are having these committees, the Committee of Sport and Recreation, we expect the full entourage of the department, both DGs and the staff, because we've seen discrepancies yesterday when the presentations are happening. We've seen that these two departments, they are not yet working together, but it's too early. We've seen that. But as a committee members, we are enforced that we own that we've got a department, which is one department of sports, arts and culture. And honorable members, you know, yesterday when we were talking about the content advice, we're forgetting that it's not the department supposed to employ the content advice. Surely even the department has been in this trouble. I'll try to meet the Office of Parliament that we need a content advice which has been not there for the whole of half of the term last year of arts and culture. We cannot afford that. So I'll try today to meet the entourage of committee session. They cannot do this to us. We have accepted the apologies. Now this is the time that we can give it to DGs, that they must assist us with the presentation. Welcome members of the ministry. I know that we finished to introduce ourselves. If just with any effect, tell us who you are. I've seen familiar faces during our APPs. If you can just tell us. Our committee meetings are starting at 9:30, but I know that you're supposed to first see your boss, whether he is in the cabinet in a meeting first. Some of us will do understand that, but the meeting is always starting at 9:30. Can you give you a chance to introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm Linda Mahapatuna Sankare, Special Advisor to Minister Martin Tetwa.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Walter Mukwena, Special Advisor to the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture.
Thank you. Honourable Members, want to have this briefing. Anyone who's going to take us to, he or she must do that.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee and colleagues. Good morning. Madam Chair, we present to the committee the fourth quarter performance information for 2018-2019 for the Department of Sport and Recreation. Madam Chair, as I presented, I will indicate areas of achievement, areas of underachievement, also reasons for us to underachieve, and also, Madam Chair, I think we are also mindful that at this stage we're already into the second quarter of 2020. So I will also paint a picture of what the achievement was towards the end of the quarter, but also what the achievement was at the end of the financial year as well. So, Madam Chair, if we look at the presentation, and the purpose is to provide the overview of what transpired in the fourth quarter. The report reflects progress made against the key strategic objectives and the annual performance indicators as it is reflected in the department's annual performance plan. Madam Chair, I think what we always perpetuate in the department is that a target is only recorded as achieved once verification and validation has been completed. Otherwise, achievement, if it's not validated or verified, it's only a rumor. So this report also then, Madam Chair, is submitted to the Audit and Risk Committee, to National Treasury, to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and we bring it here before the Sports, Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee for performance monitoring and for the oversight process that is prescribed at this committee. Madam Chair, in some instances there were achievements, even though there were no targets in quarter four. And such achievements, for example, there were four of them, one in each program of one and four, as well as two in programs two. They are not included in the overall per program performance for quarter four. Madam Chair, if we have to look at what our achievement was, overall the achievement has been 93.3%. It is based on the 25 of the 28 targets that were set for the quarter, but it's not on the average of each program's achievement percentage. Madam Chair, this slide then reflects the status of achievement. If you look at it, it shows 98%, and then in each program it shows you where the underachievement was and which programs were at 100% achievement as well. Madam Chair, if we look at Program 1, our overall achievement in Program 1 was at 75%. If you look at the targets on assessment was at 100%. The number of employees trained, we had met the target. In fact, we had overachieved on the target. The reported training covers bursaries and training courses for employees who were afforded the opportunity to attend as approved by the DG. So we had a great deal of training interventions. The one thing, Madam Chair, that we always take into consideration is where employees have requested training, we try as much as possible to accede to the request, because we believe capacitated employees are greater for service delivery and improve the performance, overall performance of the department. Continuing on Program 1, the next slide, we've completed the client's satisfaction survey. 1.4, Madam Chair, you would recall that historically, even in the previous quarters, we have not achieved on this target. The percentage of invoices paid within 30 days. I think legally, in terms of the PFMA, we have to now make sure that all invoices are paid within 30 days. However, if you look at our achievement, it's 99.9%. And even if one invoice is not paid, it is an underachievement. So out of the many, many thousands of invoices that we pay, only two invoices couldn't be paid due to erroneous capturing of invoice issue date instead of the invoice as receipt date. So, Madam Chair, that is something that we've addressed internally and ensuring that our officials make sure that they capture the dates correctly. In terms of the ICTS strategy implementation status report, this is presented every quarter, and that has been done. On Program 2, Madam Chair, this is the biggest part of our program, our Active Nation program. 90% of our targets have been achieved. If we look at the first one, the number of recreational promotional campaigns achieved, our annual target was 5. We have only one target in the fourth quarter, but overall we have delivered on the 5 programs. And the one that was targeted for quarter four. 2.2, the number of people actively participating in recreation programs, that target has been achieved. In fact, if you look at the end of the financial year, the annual report, it has been overachieved. I think we've had our Move for Health, the youth camp, the big walk, National Recreation Day, Unite campaign. So all of that, those form the bigger part of our targets in quarter four. So on program two, Madam Chair, sports promotion campaigns, we have outreach programs. Most of it in quarter four was our outreach programs. We have achieved on that. In fact, at the end of the financial year, we have overachieved on that. Number of people actively participating in sports promotion campaigns. Our target was 1,936. We have managed 5,261 people who are actively participating. And in this case, Madam Chair, we have a rural sport development program. Because of the fact it's now decentralized, we managed to get to more people, and I think those people will grow in coming years. So we have more people then participating in the rural sports development program. And if you look at the target at the end of the financial year as well, it's at 8,000, at least 8,000. So on program two, Madam Chair, 2.5, our school sport championships, we had one target of the autumn championships, and we achieved that. Number of participants in national school sport championships per year, Madam Chair, our full target for the year is 5,000. And in quarter four, we underachieved on the target. But if we look at overall, the summer championships, we use that as a catch-up event because we've had a dispute in the methodology of delivering the championships between the Department of Basic Education and ourselves in quarter one. And there were more participants that took part in the summer championships. Whilst we may have not achieved the target in quarter four, overall, our target has been achieved, even before we got to the to quarter four, the target was already achieved. The school sport championships programs, the improvement plan, Madam Chair, we have an MOU with the Department of Basic Education, and we do have an improvement plan as well following a workshop that we've had in the school sports sector. We've had an evaluation of the school sport championships done, and this then gave rise to the improvement plan. This we monitor on a quarterly basis, and we present a report at our management meeting. So that has been done. Continuing with program two, Madam Chair, the number of people actively participating in organized sport and recreation activities. Our target for the quarter was 100,000. We managed to get 121,349 participants. And events that couldn't be held in any of the other quarters, for one reason or other, we've had events in the fourth quarter, so that we meet that target as well in the fourth quarter. Also, the number of learners participating in school sport championships at a district level, Madam Chair, our target was 10,000, but our achievement was 49,000. Here, because it is at a district level, so there are more learners that participate at district level because they prepare for various segments of the national championships. We've had the summer championships and the autumn championships towards the third and the fourth quarters, so those numbers increase because the elimination events that take place at a district level attracted more participants. So on program two, Madam Chair, we've got the number of schools and hubs that were provided with sports attire and equipment. Our target was 250, but we achieved 1,845. And the reason for this, Madam Chair, is the biggest provinces such as the Western Cape and Gauteng, they only delivered on this target in quarter four with in line with their target. Normally they would buy equipment in the fourth quarter, so it's easy for delivery of programs from quarter one to quarter two. So their target was to buy equipment, purchase equipment and attire in quarter four. The next slide is athletes that are supported by the sports academies per year. Our target was 1,000. We've achieved 1,387. Here, Madam Chair, if you look at the overachievement, it's the academies, they regularly receive ad hoc requests from federations for support of athletes that are not on the database. sometimes there may be some championships and athletes may require support that they may not be able to get from the federation themselves, and then they get into the academies to ask for that support. And that then increases the number of people that the academies can provide support to. Number of academies supported, our target was 5, but the achievement was 26. Here the provinces submitted the required supporting documents in quarter 4. The reported performance therefore includes carryovers from poor performance in previous quarters. So if we look at quarter 4, if you look at the previous quarters, we had targets that may have not been met. So in quarter 4, all of the supporting documents that were outstanding then came through only in quarter 4. And as I indicated, Madam Chair, if we don't have portfolio of evidence, if we don't have, we can't verify it, then we don't consider that an achievement. So in previous years, if they were underachieved, once the documents were submitted in quarter 4, then we had to record it as having been achieved. Madam Chair, we go on to program 3. There was 100% achievement on all of the targets. I'm going to go through those, especially where there's all of it, Madam Chair, if you look at it, there's no deviations. SASCOC MOU has been signed. Athletes, 20 athletes have been supported through the Ministerial Sports Bursary Program. Athletes supported through Scientific Supports Program. We've had, the target was 20. We managed to achieve 27. And this was again due to delayed submission of verification and documentation by the beneficiaries. And it's a carryover from previous quarters. Number of drug-free sport agencies receiving support. We only had one target and it was achieved. The CDA, Central Drug Authority, has received support from us. If we look at the number of major international events receiving intra-governmental support, there was one target and we met that target. We gave support to the 2019 World Angling Games from the 9th to 17th of February. And in these cases, Madam Chair, a lot of the times the federations or the entities require help with visa arrangements. They require assistance, support in terms of the bring and hosting document regulations, etc., and that's the support we provide to them. 3.6, the number of national and international sporting events and exhibitions or conferences used to showcase South Africa. We had one status report. This target was already achieved in quarter 3. The BRICS Games were utilized for this purpose as showcasing South Africa as a sports tourism destination. Madam Chair, our sports recognition and honoring events. For target 5 for the year, we had one target for quarter 4. Ministerial Outstanding Sports Performance Accolades. Here the Ministerial Outstanding Sports Accolades was undertaken in previous quarters. However, the Sports Awards and Andrew Nangeni Green Jacket Awards report were completed and submitted in quarter 4. Program 4, Madam Chair, we have 100% as well in quarter 4. We have good governance monitoring reports that were generated from our, where we monitor our sports federations and also the sports bodies that have to receive financial and non-financial support. This is our transfer payments. We had no target in the last financial year, but the achievement there was 18 because the total of 18 sports and recreation bodies paid was due to the backlog. Madam Chair, here again, when federations and when our entities do not give us supporting documents or don't comply with our framework, we don't transfer money until such time that there is compliance. So as a result, we got all of the information by the fourth quarter and hence we could then provide that support to them. And in total, 65 sports bodies were supported against an annual target of 60. And this was because, Madam Chair, where there were some federations that don't comply with the requirements, we have to reassess our assistance, and sometimes there are federations who we've not been able to support, and we realize that for their development program there's a need for us to support them, and hence we offer that support. Sports Trust, we signed the MOU, we get progress reports to them from them twice in a year. Multi-purpose sports built. There were 12 that we had as a target. We have managed to achieve 14 here. If you look at the EPG report, we've tabled the EPG report with comparative and the National Federation specific information on transformation, which was tabled before the end of the financial year. And also the number of national federations that had to submit their database. They had no targets in their financial year because those data sheets come well in advance so that we can finalize the report by the fourth quarter. Bilateral agreements, we've signed one bilateral agreement as per the target with Bulgaria. A number of status reports detailing multilateral engagements. We had one target was one. We had the one meeting, the UNESCO meeting. Program 5, 50% of the targets were met, Madam Chair. If we look at it, the one target we have not met at all in Program 5 was the number of community gyms and children's play parks constructed. Our target was 4, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, here our biggest challenge is the dependency. We are dependent on municipalities because all of these community outdoor gyms are constructed and installed in property that belongs to the municipality, in parks, in open spaces that belong to the municipality. And given the long protracted engagement and the process of the municipality had to go through to approve the sites, we have not been able to meet that target. I think there was lengthy consultation, municipalities changed their minds, the community's needs changed, and as a result it has very, very severely affected our own targets of delivering on those community outdoor gyms. And Madam Chair, there is one area that is very, very popular in communities, the outdoor gyms, where you're having almost like a virgin active or what you see in an indoor gym outside that's highly accessible to communities. They can use it at any time of day or night. And obviously it's promoting active and healthy lifestyle. So we were quite disappointed that we could not deliver on that because of the fact that there's dependency. Municipalities provided with technical and management support. Madam Chair, we've actually overachieved. We were supposed to provide that support to 35 municipalities. We have provided to 38 municipalities. And these also included support that we had carried over from the 2017-18 financial year. Madam Chair, you would know that we have ring-fence money from the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. This has then increased our responsibility to oversee and to provide support to those municipalities. And that is also an area of great challenge. So obviously in 2017-18, there were challenges with municipalities not starting on projects on time, carrying over and rolling over funds, etc. And hence, we had to also then carry over some of those responsibilities. Madam Chair, I've completed the performance information. The CFO will provide a presentation on the budget and expenditure for the fourth quarter. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and all members. And the DG. Okay, I'm going to give the overall overview of the budget and expenditure as at 31st March 2019. The overall budget allocation for the department was 1.1 billion. And the overall spending of the department was 1.076 million, which represents 98% of the budget, of the total budget. And the reason for that is that the compensation of employees, we spent 89.9%. We indeed underspent on this COE budget. We allocated 110 million and we only spent 99.8 million. This was due to the high vacancy rate that the department experienced under the financial year. And then the expenditure on goods and services, the allocation was 169.9 million, and we only spend 166.4 million, which represents 97.9% of the budget. And this was due to the reason that the COO just alluded to now under Program 5, where there was a delay in terms of finalization of the MOU between the department and the municipalities, and also the finalization of the sites for the installation of the outdoor gyms. In terms of the transfer payments, we actually managed to transfer the 100% of the transfers. And then as far as the capital asset expenditure is concerned, we spent almost 100% of the total budget. This is the detailed summary of the overall departmental expenditure. If you look at the current payments, we've got 94.8%, which constitutes by the compensation of employees and goods and services. Goods and services, we spend 97%, as I alluded earlier, and then COE is 89.9%. Transfers and subsidies as less provinces. This is actually the grant transfers to the province, to the provinces, and also the agencies that we have, like Boxing in South Africa, as well as SAIDS, SASCOC, and other non-profit institutions like our federations. So the overall performance was 98.7%, so the money to be surrendered is 14,698,000, and this is due to the underspending on compensation of employee and also on Program 5. When you look at performance in terms of Program 1, the overall performance is 95.9%, and you will see that we've got an underspending under CAT-CETA, and this is due to less money that was paid to CAT-CETA due to the high vacancy rate that we have, because the department budget 1% of the total compensation of employees, but due to the high vacancy rate, we paid less money to CAT-CETA. And also the leave gratuity that was rejected on personal for a retired official. However, the overall performance is 95.9%. When it comes to Program 2, the performance is 99.8%. So I'll pass this one. Program 3, Winning Nation, is 99.6%. And then Program 4, Sport Support, is 98.2%. And the underspending there is on the youth graduate, on the households. And Program 5, Infrastructure Support, the overall performance is 58.3%. And this is due to the reasons that we have alluded earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, you have finished the presentation. Honorable members, I want, with your permission, to ask the department to brief us about what we've seen once our deputy minister is not with us. Went to Morocco. We were aware that there was a problem between the department and SASCOC about the Morocco issue. And also I want to report that the secretary of the committee is saying that we do have, as of today, the report of SASCOC from the department. By end of today, we'll be getting that report. So I wanted that when you're asking questions, you must be aware that on the 28th of this month, when the department, SASCOC, we need SASCOC to be in this committee and the department. So fortunately, we'll be already have the report in order that we must ask questions through the report. If you can allow me, before you ask questions, that both DGs, they must give us a report about the problem of Morocco, because with Slimity it was argued to us, and we didn't want to respond when media people were calling us saying that, Chairperson, please say something about this. I usually not do that if I don't have a formal information from the department, and especially if the whole committee is not having a report. I'm just running away of responding on issues that are not formally tabled in the committee. I can issue statement congratulating any other sport code, but not with a report that comes in the media without a formal report. That's my decision as the chairperson of sport. I don't want to just comment on things that I'm not having a formal information. I'm giving this opportunity to the DGs and acting DG that they must brief us. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We note the date of the 28th. But also just to indicate that yes, we will provide a formal report on the matter. But at a high level, we're not going into detail at this stage because of the engagement we have on the matter. I would like to just highlight the following. Then SAFA wrote to the minister requesting an intervention because the men's under 20, men's and women's football teams under 20 needed to go and participate, but there was a disagreement between SAFA and SASCOC. The reasons advanced by SAFA were that they had long qualified before the criteria of SASCOC or the decisions made by SASCOC could have the adverse impact on the participation of the team. That they were already also featured in the fixture and it was supposed to be an opening match with the host nation, which is Morocco. That they are also capable of covering the cost themselves because that was one of the issues that SASCOC had raised in their decisions relating to the inadequacy of funding. And then SASCOC had also indicated previously that they would like to have a group of the huge entourage visiting or going to games, whether it's Olympic or All Africa games. And they were applying the particular stringent criteria on qualifying codes or participating codes that must go and participate in these games. But also that the kids or the kids who were already that supposed to go there have been identified, they've already incurred a lot of costs, and they're en route to Morocco. Then the minister, also we must just indicate that there was that engagement then was happening now between the two ministers, because there was acting minister, Minister Dikeza. The host minister was officially not at work at the time, on leave. But then the two ministers engaged on the deal with the matter, and they engaged both parties, SAFA president as well as SASCOC president, to say how do you suggest this matter be resolved? When the two parties could not agree on how this matter can best be resolved, then the minister, looking at the issues that would affect the country quite negatively, particularly at the verge of the game starting, he then decided that the two teams must be allowed to participate, and SASCOC should then facilitate that process. And it's important to indicate that the minister was very clear about respecting the authoritative role of SASCOC, but also of the decisions that SASCOC had done in relation to the qualification criteria and who must go there. But paramount to the decision made was, among others, the negative impact this was going to now have on the athletes themselves who were already gathered and en route to Morocco. The issue of a reputational risk that the country was facing as this game was going to be one of the opening games. And then the timing was quite too short to do anything else. He then, together with the minister, by applying their minds, looked at what legislation allows the minister to intervene either way when the two parties are in dispute. Mm-hmm. And based on that, they then looked at Section 13 of the Sports and Recreation Act, which talks to the handling of disputes, particularly 13B. As a result, he then decided that their decision be communicated to SASCOC president in writing. In the meantime, there were just quite a lot of challenges now on the side of Morocco, because now they were not aware of what exactly the state of South Africa's participation. Because only SASCOC can issue the authority for them, the registration of the teams to participate there. So as a consequence, then the minister engaged, the two ministers engaged with SASCOC, of course, it was through the acting minister, to say that SASCOC president or the board must, take into account all the reasons above and the matter of national interest, that what would have affected, because this is all Africa games, it affects African countries as a whole. The image of the country, the interest of the country, would be a huge jeopardy and risk if we don't participate in such a short notice. Timing here is quite critical. So, and this is now in the afternoon when this is issued, and it was sent then to SASCOC, and they received the letter. Then they, according to the report we have, was that then the president of SASCOC had to also follow his own processes in terms of engaging with the rest of the board before implementing that decision or directive. Which then they did, but the kids were already in Morocco, facing difficulties now on whether they're going to be transported. They couldn't be moved because they only be coming from site. That until they get a directive from South African Olympic Committee, they can't provide transport, nothing. So the Office of the Minister then, through the advisor on sport, was then engaging with them. Until I think early hours of the morning, and around 1 a.m. the matter was then resolved that two conditions have to be met. South Africa must write an explanation and appeal letter for late restoration, so that they are able to then consider the appeal, because it is now outside of the time frame. And that subsequent to that, they will have to, should they be considered favorably, they will then have to pay $2,000 for each team to now register. So these two conditions had to be met. And again, that was done through SASCO leadership, engaging with the Olympic Committee that site. But also, there was then an involvement of health support there for the teams to participate, because SAFA had to also engage with health that side to see how best they can assist. So in a nutshell, was that then the matter was eventually resolved in that then SASCO did assist with the facilitation of those, despite all the challenges, as I said, would provide a full report. The fact is that, as we all know now, that the team participated yesterday, despite all those challenges, although they then lost 2-1 to Nigeria, in my understanding, but at least they were able to participate, and the women's team will also be able to participate. So there were those challenges, which then the minister is back, is intending to address these matters and give them the priority and that they deserve. We can just indicate that then, since then, there has been a number of now requests by the other federations to try and say, you know, can also the minister also assist us. And then our response has been that you can't treat these matters as a blanket. Each matter to be dealt with on its merit and the situation. And secondly, that minister can't run SASCOP affairs. It was an intervention at the time. SASCOP remains the body, the legal entity responsible for dealing with the courts and the participation of which courts and their selection criteria in that regard. But I think the delegate Sumaya will can just add if I've left anything, or subsequent to that, there has been that engagement with them. But we'll provide more details, but the matter is a bit sensitive in the situation where litigations might arise. That's why like I'm not able to really go to term and assume who is right, who is wrong. We've not made that determination. The minister will engage with those matters. But just to put the committee on that, but I think we can just add what happened subsequent to that.
Thank you very much, TJ. Madam Chair, we have been looking at other federations that have also requested for the minister to give them approval to travel. I think by and large, Madam Chair, based on resources, teams that were selected to travel to the African Games were those who were seeking qualification for the Olympic Games, etc. So importantly, it's an opportunity on African soil for our athletes then to seek qualification. From a cost perspective, it's cheaper for them to qualify in the continent, and also in terms of the field of competitors, instead of going to Europe or elsewhere. And those federations that then asked to travel, they wanted to do it now at their own cost, because obviously SASCOP didn't have all the resources to send everyone who qualified to the event. So they had to come up with some criteria. But be that as it may, Madam Chair, those schools who have the resources to travel on their own have now come forward to say they would now like to travel based on what has happened with SAFA. From outside, Madam Chair, we are also looking, because there are some federations. We're still doing our research around that, making sure that we have the right information. There are codes who have gone to court and there's some judgment. We're getting copies, we're getting proof of that judgment to say that, you know, they were then redeemed and that judgment is in their favor and they can travel. So we're just making sure that we have that information, because if that information is at hand, then there's no need for the minister to get involved in it, because then that judgment becomes precedence for anything else. So we are in the process of getting that information, which we should, we hope to get finalized by today. And then we would advise the SESCOC to use that in terms of finalizing and making the call from the other federations as well. But I think, Madam Chair, importantly, we have to be mindful of the fact of what the Minister's responsibilities are in terms of the Sport and South African Sport and Recreation Act. We also have to be mindful that these codes are members of the Olympic Committee, and the Olympic Committee is very clear in terms of government's role in selecting teams and sending teams to multi-code events. Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is not a good report, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And can we start with our own presentation, and then we'll be say and comment on the report? Because we've seen it was on papers, and we didn't want to comment, but we were feeling, some of us, about the kids, and we were not, some of us, very sure what was supposed to be done by whoever. But thanks for the clarification. Honorable members, let's have our discussion on the presentation, and then we must come back to this problem of SASCOC. I may say that is a problem of SASCOC. We still have an outstanding problem of themselves that will be calling them to come on the 28th to report to us. But I must indicate that these are not good news. Even before this problem that we were having with them, we caution both department and SASCOC about this litigation to take each other to court. And I'm suspecting that's the report that will be ready when the committee forwarded to us. But when we engage, we must seek clarification on what these two leaders just reported to us. Can we go back to our presentation from the department? I may take the hands now. Thank you so long. Let's park what you have just told us. Honorable members, this is a time for interrogation, clarity, advices on the report of the department. Honorable Masungosi, Honorable Makolo, I know that this honorable young honorable, and the one is young at heart, they will be doing this, wanting to assist me in sharing. So I won't allow that. I don't blame power. In that order, from Honorable Mhlongo until at the end of the committee members. Thank you so much.
Good morning, sir, and the colleagues. Apologize if you're late. But I welcome
It's unlikely. You always be number one in the committee, so we do accept that apology.
I wanted to find out, especially under human resources, based on budget allocated and the expenditure there. And it has been our cry in this committee. We have
falling with sky, people are acting, we have vacancies. What exactly is the problem for us? I know it now, and I don't need that excuse that you are now merging two departments, an excuse. What exactly is the problem? Now, you mustn't say you are merging the department now, you make sure that, I don't need that response. I'm not doing an oversight work when I get that response. We are aware that there's merger of departments. What exactly is the issue? What is the root cause? Do we do advertisement or not? Have we done it? Can I have a newspaper that you've done it? When was it? And name of those national newspapers. Because we don't even adhere to the AG recommendation. That was AG, that the vacant post which must be filled, especially the executive post. Because you understand that I wanted, in fact, exactly to get it. I usually don't get the percentage part, and I usually ask this question. It's not 100% when you allocated 807 and spent 807 instead of 8074. It's not 100% unless my math is not okay. Under transfer expenditure, it's saying 100% total of 807.3 million, but the budget is 807.4. It's not 100%. Maybe you must teach me how to do your maths, as you are saying it's 100%. Another issue, in fact, on all this that you did not achieve, it's 82.2. It's not 100%. You broke them four. And the last one, which is infrastructure support. Now, before that, tell me more about this household. It's 40% and the expenditure is zero. Explain that to me. And then I'll be fine with that. But we recognize what the department is doing. And we're looking forward to the oversight. And we are happy. But one of the things that I usually ask, why do we tend to use money on the last quarter? You know, instead of each quarter is 25%, but you tend to say, no, you'll use it at the last quarter, which is this quarter. But I need an explanation, especially as we compare arts and culture and sports. You know, both departments have seen their financials. I'm not even tally, but nonetheless, that is my comment. Thank you, Chair.
On that order.
Good morning once again. Thank you for the presentation. And my question would be, with all the underrated active nation, yes, I understand that these programs that are being explained here, the youth camp, big walk, and all these wonderful programs. I want to ask if they are only aimed at certain communities, or because they are, I don't see and I don't hear much about them happening in locations, in townships and everything, is it only for certain communities maybe they're not being what's called this, they are not on newspapers, and people don't understand, they actually know much about them. And my other question is, maybe the reason why that you find a lot of ad hoc requests, at the last moment, where you have to deal with a lot more numbers of people, is maybe just because of the non exposure of such requests from the department. And another thing that I also want to ask is, what is the department doing about asked Semenya's, you know, the dilemma of wanting to be doped by the International Federation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me firstly welcome the report that's presented to us. The first thing that I want to check is about the presentation that has been made in Program 1. It doesn't have pages under the indicator, the performance indicator of number of employees trained. Their target, according to the APP, I do agree that annually exists. But according to the APP, I don't know whether it has changed. It was 10 in the fourth quarter as presented on the document. I don't know whether it has changed. But now I can see that your target is 20. And then when we were presenting in the APP, it was in the first quarter, it was 10. The second quarter, it was 20. The third quarter, it was 10. And the fourth quarter, it was 10. And now I can see that you've overachieved. But can there be any explanation to what happened? Maybe is there any quarter that you didn't do maybe training and then you transferred that plan where you needed maybe to train maybe 10 or 20 where you didn't do well, so that you can do good explanation. But we welcome to see that no, you've overachieved with 139. And the other thing that I'm concerned, because if you want a team to perform very well, is that you need to train. If you can trace back the indicators, it's going down. For the past, I think it's 3 years, 3 years, it's been the same as 60, 60, 60, 60. But in the last, it was 100 and something, 130. Why is it going down than maybe training more people, your target? Why is it going down? The other thing that I want to check is that in the budget that is presented to us, and let me also not speak about administration one, because the member Mhlongo spoke about the issue of employment. We do understand that the president in the State of Nation said that this is the year of jobs. And by creating jobs is that if you do have budget, you need to advertise and employ so that it can be implemented. Then the president to speak and something is not implemented due to the officials or other challenges. So we need to hear what are the challenges truly, what are the challenges that you don't employ and you do budget. And at the end of the year, it costs you to do the underspending in that thing. The other thing I want to speak about is the issue of infrastructure support. To say, I can see that under goods and services, you were budgeted, it's 6.5 something, and then the expenditure is 3.2. Why did you underspend? Because you should have identified other facilities or other province or whatsoever that need support your infrastructure.
So I just wanted to get that clarity. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. I know you don't play with power. Chairperson, we all know that I have passion for school sports. You spoke about school sports and about the MOU. I don't personally see the MOU. I don't know what it entails and then how I'm going to roll it out and so on. Because remember, I gave an example during my presentation in the budget book vote that when we're growing up, we're playing sport, something that took us away from the streets. I'm worried about our kids nowadays. There are abuse and drugs involved in quite a number of activities which are criminal activities. So now I want to know how are we going to roll out this program with the Department of Basic Education. I know in the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, we have districts and provinces. The Department of Education also has districts and provinces. They've got 10, 1, 2, and 3 schools, which are public schools, mostly in townships and rural areas. Yeah, so I'm worried about that, but how are we going to roll that thing out? Because we must bring back that spirit whereby you go to school in the morning, after school you go to a particular sporting field, late in the afternoon you are tired, you go to sleep, the following day the same routine and so on. During weekends on Saturday you go and pray for your own team, Sunday you go to church, so you never have time to commit crime or to do anything that is not acceptable in the nation. Yeah, so school sport, can I get a little bit more on that? Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Another question.
Thanks, Chairperson. good morning to everybody. Let me also join other members in welcoming the presentation. My first general question is, are we overperforming or under targeting? Don't you think we are under targeting? Because if you overperform by more than 50%, then we need to review how we develop our targets. On slide 24, 5.1, there is a frustration or delay in the finalization of sites list due to lengthy consultations. Why do we put it as a target before we finalize our consultation? My question would be, why don't we deal with consultation? When we have agreement signed, then we put it as a target that we are going to construct the following. My other questions, Chair, are more on impact of our service delivery or whatever we are doing. If we talk of, for example, youth camps, what is the impact? Once we have gone through, we have taken young people to these camps, what is the impact? And in terms of the youth camp, are we not duplicating what Love Life is doing? Just clarity there. Now, the Rural Sports Development Program, are we able to follow up and say, since we started this program, these are the young people who have developed, they are now playing for this team, that team, and this team. Therefore, we see the impact of that particular program. Otherwise, we're going to continue with the program. If we don't evaluate to that extent, we will continue with it without delivering the necessary service. I see we say we have performed on the issue of contributing towards tourism just by one international activity. As a department, do we sometimes conduct our own survey on sports tourism just to evaluate the impact in the South African economy? Because ultimately we must be able to say this is how, through sports, we contributed towards the South African economy, through sports tourism. And my last question, Chair, is more related to those delays, as I said. If there were those delays, did you request the intervention of SALGA or COCTA so that we don't always complain of delays and so on, so that if SALGA or COPTA is able to intervene, then they assist us in processing our things. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Let me thank the Department. I've got some few questions. One, I've seen that you have said nothing about the bills in this report, and I'm worried that if we're not pushing and asking you to do, we'll be having same problems that we don't meet the time frames, especially on the bills, which are Section 76 bills. As we're sitting here, we want the department to start and report to us on to fast track these bills. SARS filler bill, which will not fulfilled it and finish it because of time frames as a Section 76. And I want that you must also prioritize the National Sport Recreation Amendment Bill. We cannot, as this committee, not be on the first priority about our bills. And if we keep quiet as a committee, even the AG, they will tell us that we are not doing our role. Also, I'm going back to this first question raised by Honorable Mhlongo. I'm also not happy about the underspending due to non-filling of vacant posts. I don't want to mention names or whatever. You have so many, let me not so many, you have been having this problem that you were not filling the vacancies, but then it was the question of money. We don't know now whether we still have not have money to fulfill the vacancies. We have staff that has been in your department redundant, and I don't want to hear one other day the incident which happened here in Parliament of somebody just killing himself. According to us, we know that there are staff members who have been in your department not been upgraded or whatever. So if we can fast track again the filling of these vacancies. But I can't say that it's a question of money because you are saying you underspend. But there are people even inside your administration who are still there. Maybe they don't apply or you don't know about them themselves. And then this question of the MOU, honorable members, we need to share as the former parliament. We did call several meetings, this Department of Basic Education and this committee, this department, they must come and tell us and why this MOU is not functioning. It was then former Minister Malula, former Minister Tulas Mwesi, and then the former minister, they even tried to modify the MOU decision. But as we are sitting here as this committee, I don't know what else must we do, because when it comes to national sport, we rely especially in the Department of Education. We need that our department must tell us what are the problems. because we have got a right to do oversight even in the other departments. If you still remember, honorable members, even with the Department of Agriculture, they were complaining about this school sport through this department. We don't know whether we're not doing our oversight role correctly, but we'll discuss as a committee further engagement and what must we do. I don't know, according to the rules of Parliament, whether honorable members were allowed to now write to a speaker to complain about this thing of national sport. You know, the scourge of violence through drugs, because of the all what you are seeing here. Salga also, we even called both a culture, the sport and recreation, and then and the compromise was that about this pilot project. Even that pilot project, that money, it has to be given to COPTA, the one department which were complaining that their monitoring tools are not there. Because if municipality can't use this percentage of money of infrastructure, and then they decided in a hot meeting, we called even the treasure to be in one room, because we were frustrated about this infrastructure grant. And now also we don't know whether these about two or three provinces which you were identified them as pilot project, if really it's working accordingly, and if not, what else must we do? Now, other questions are relevant, asked by other members. But you are passionate about the sport. We can't just keep, especially the rural part of it. We know that we have some other entities which we may call and account, but the rural transformation. We know that we don't have enough money, but I'm happy that now UAT is within with us. Whilst they were complaining about so many entities, about 25 of themselves, when we were thinking that now we merge with the department which got a mastery, but they did tell us that money does go to those merged entities. But with the sport, we cannot do without resources. We cannot do without infrastructure. And we were seriously feeling bad about this school sport, because it's our kids starting from there that they are using drug abuses. So far, I'm happy about the presentation, but there are these outstanding issues that even our good selves, we can be rated zero by UAG. They do rate us whether we do e-monitoring or not. In those few words, I'll give it to the department. Thank you.
My apology, Chair. No problem. I've forgotten one thing to request. Maybe they give us a brief report in the implementation of the National Sports and Recreation Vision 2020. Please, thank you.
when I was saying the option, you were not in Honorable Mhlongo. When I was saying acting DG, we've been told that we're having to wait for a process to be finished, that we must have our acting DG. So the minister will be finalizing that acting DG.
Waiting for the letter.
Yes, that's why I'm saying that you are still waiting for the letter.
Okay, thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, we welcome the question from the committee. I think with regard to, I'm going to ask CFO to respond to some of the questions that Ms. Makwela as well. But in terms of compensation, we were at 89.9%. Madam Chair, we did start a process of advertising posts to be filled even as far back as even when Ms. Mnyati was in office. And I think we have been, I wouldn't know whether we call ourselves victims, but we have been victims of cabinet reshuffles in two consecutive years. And you would recall also that there are certain senior posts is the prerogative of approval of advertising, etc., of the executive authority. So we had advertised some posts, and unfortunately, due to the change in leadership, political leadership, it has hampered the progress of that to the extent that we had not filled posts, senior management posts that were advertised in January 2018, we had not filled it. And hence, obviously, it would have been an effect on compensation. We managed to then fill in two posts, I mean, do the whole process of recruitment starting from last year, this year in February, but those posts were only finalized and the appointments were made on the 1st of June. So, Madam Chair, I think maybe that could be the result of our expenditure not reaching 100% in terms of compensation of employees. Madam Chair, I think we must also indicate that within the year, we have people resigning and also then being promoted into posts in other departments. So when that happens, obviously it's also going to affect the trends in expenditure, because where we have then planned for compensation over 12 months, when we have resignations, then it affects the expenditure. We will have under expenditure in those areas as well. So, Madam Chair, for other financials, I'm going to ask CFO to also make some comments, and Mr. Makwela will, and then I will attend to this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I can also add on what the CEO just answered to, that we can even provide the advertisement that we provided, that we did last year, 2018. As far as the percentage is concerned, on transfers, if you look at my slide, the overall departmental summary, you would see that provinces and municipalities, it's 100%, departmental agencies and accounts is 100%, non-profit institutions is 100%. The only challenge we had is on households. So when you look at the percentage, it's 99.98, so it was the rounding off. Hence, we then said it's 100%. And then when it comes to households, the 40 that you said it was not spent, it was an over-budgeting on Leave Crash Return Program 4. And then the other question is, why didn't we then look at, as far as Program 5 infrastructure, the outdoor gyms, why didn't we take the money to other programs? It was eyed for that specifically for outdoor gyms.
Thank you, Chair. The target on training, yes, it was 10-20-2010. So there it's a human error. Maybe it's because of the high achievement. But in terms of achievement, also linking with whether we are under targeting or overachieving. With training, we count one employee once. we find that in various quarters the number may be high, but at the end of the financial year, the number that would appear would be an annual number. So each employee who was trained, irrespective of the number of times the employee was trained, would be counted once. But also the need, we may have targeted 60, but because training is also a response to need. At the time of planning, may have said 60, but as we engage, it could be with the AG, or we see certain gaps within the staff. For example, we realize that if we don't sort out personal matters, then we'll have problems in line with control measures. Therefore, you then say, we may not have planned for this initially, but we then did it because we have not planned for it. If there are resources or internal training that can be done, then let's go ahead with it so that we close the gaps that maybe appear and get us into trouble later on. Planning is basically informed by baseline. Yes, we look at the previous performance and plan accordingly. But there are certain times when you look at the baseline and you ask yourself, is this the kind of performance that is consistent? If the target was 50 and we got 100, do we then just shoot to 200 in the following financial year? Unless if we are satisfied that this performance of 100 can be consistent going forward. The issue of consultation before targeting, yes, that's valid. We have started engaging on that as a department, because when we look at the facilities, it's very easy to construct those. They don't take that much time, but it's the decision making that has to be sorted before the construction is made. So yes, it's valid that the consultations have to happen. Though there may still be changes, but I guess the situation will not be the same as when the consultation is done within the same financial year where the targeting is done. The issue of the impact, we have started undertaking evaluations in the department, but it has to do with capacity and resources. So they are happening at a small scale. So yes, most of our programs have not yet been evaluated to really check the extent of the impact that we are making. But that's the direction that we want to take, so that those that do not really add value can be dropped as we go forward. That's what on planning. When the province, we engage the province in terms of planning, we have five sector indicators that we are shared within all the provinces throughout the country. When they plan to engage throughout their provinces. So, of course, with a skew towards rural areas. So, I believe that where there is no visibility, it could be a problem of communication. But in terms of planning, the plans that they need to plan looking at serving the whole province. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, to our colleagues. Madam Chair, the issue of our youth camps and whether we are duplicating what Love Life does. Madam Chair, I think we took a decision a few years ago. Love Life gets earmarked funding from the Department of Sport and Recreation. But we had realized that, yes, they do run programs and we run programs. And I think we've come a long way with Love Life, where we've now aligned our programs. So in our youth camps, Love Life plays a big part in delivering on the programs of the youth camps. So it's not a program that they run on their own and we run on. We work together. There are the nine provinces, we have youth camps every year at the same time. And it's a very successful program. It's one of our biggest contributions towards our social cohesion program because of the fact that there's a very clear strategy of stratification so that the young people that come in to that youth camp program represent the demographics of the country.
So we insist that every race group must be accommodated. We need to have people with disabilities, and we need people who, young people who come from both rural and urban areas. So it's one of the programs that we consider to be our biggest contributors towards social cohesion. And there is even a program after the youth camps of the Trailblazer movement where young people as young leaders are identified and put onto a program. So, Madam Chair, Love Life is very involved and we don't have separate programs with that on that. Let me also touch on the impact on the evaluation. Madam Chair, on an annual basis, our school spends our mass participation program in terms of the conditional grant that we give to the provinces. On a yearly basis, they do an evaluation. Every province does their own evaluation, and we do a national evaluation, and we do have reports out of that which we can share. So we do have some sort of evaluation, but as Mr. McQuella has indicated, we do have capacity constraints. However, our evaluation unit has already done an impact or an evaluation of our school sport championships. We've done an evaluation of our ministerial sports bursaries last year, and we're busy now to do an evaluation of the Big Walk program. Obviously, for us to ensure or to see any impact, we have to look at a program running for a longer time so that we'll be able to then to measure any impact. So we will be doing an evaluation of the Big Walk in this financial year. Survey on tourism, sports tourism. Madam Chair, we've made input into the national tourism strategy because we believe that sports tourism plays a big part in contributing towards the economy of the country. And I think I don't have all the statistics off on my head, but it does play a big role in contributing to the GDP of the country. So definitely, yes, we are part of the national tourism strategy, and I think the sports tourism has a big chapter in the national strategy as well. School sports, the MOU, Madam Chair, I think, and the Chairperson has already alluded to the fact that there's been many interventions. We signed an MOU last year between the former minister and the Minister of Basic Education. The roles and responsibilities are very clear in terms of what sport and recreation responsibilities are and what the Department of Basic Education. Madam Chair, and I know the colleague is very passionate about this, I've heard him many times, but for us, and with my own background, if I may declare, I've been a PE teacher, so I'm also very, very passionate about school sport. And if we don't have quality physical education being taught at school level, our young children will never learn the skills of the different codes of sport. And they have to learn it. School sport is a bedrock of sports development. And if they don't learn those skills at sport, as physical education being taught in schools as a standalone subject and not a small part of life skills or life orientation, we will never get Olympic athletes coming out, especially those from disadvantaged areas. So it affects our transformation agenda. It also affects our athlete development pathway if we don't teach the skills. And then again, the issue of budgeting for school sport. As the Department of Sport and Recreation, and I know my former DG used to always say this here, if you're looking at the performance agreement of the DG of Sport and Recreation, school sport and sports is very high up in his key responsibility areas. But if you look at perhaps the DG of Basic Education, school sport may be number 10, because obviously for a DBE, DG, maybe education and textbooks and matric results, etc. So as a result, what we do is actually an intervention, because we realize that for the athlete development pathway to get off the ground, or for us to ensure that there is some development at grassroots level to take us to the high performance, we need to invest in school sport. And hence our intervention in terms of the school sport program or training teachers, providing equipment and attire, and running the school sport program at a national level. So Department of Education has to take care of and has to invest in terms of the roles and responsibilities in the MOU. They have to provide for inter-school, district levels, ward levels, all those competitions, Wednesday leagues, etc. That's the Department of Basic Education, that's their responsibility. The provincial departments of sport and recreation take care of school sports activities at a provincial level. And then therefore they bring through athletes to the national school championships. So the roles and responsibilities are very clear. We do have structures in place, Madam Chair, in terms of our joint national task teams. There's a structure between ourselves and basic education. And then we have a structure also where the provincial Department of Education, Department of Sport and Recreation, and that's our joint national task team where we plan together. But planning is one thing, how it's rolled out also is questionable. Again, it comes to budget. But I think all is not lost, Madam Chair. You would recall in the past, basic education had a very small budget towards school sport. That budget has increased, and we're also seeing them include school sport as part of their strategic planning processes as well. So I think those interventions that we've made and the partnership has got us somewhere. It's not where we want to be, but at least we're making some progress towards that. With regard to the bills, yes, Madam Chair, it's very, very important. I mean, all the issues that are coming up here with SAFA and others tells us about the gaps we have in the legislation. So that is a priority, and we started the process, presented it to the former committee. We will be bringing it back. Our legal teams are working together, Madam Chair, because we are going towards a merger. So we have a legal work stream that's looking at all legislation as well. So that legislation, again, we've circulated internally for us to make any inputs. And we are very, very fastidious that we want this to be fast-tracked and to get finalized here on that. Madam Chair, I'm just trying to see if there's anything else that we haven't responded to. Okay. Sorry. Just give us here.
I was just reminding you of Honorable Ringo's question on provinces on Big Walk. Whether are we having Big Walk only nationally or is there any
problems? Okay, thanks. Madam Chair, the Big Walk. Thanks, sir. The Big Walk is it happens on the first Sunday of October. It is linked to World Walking Day. In every province, there are walks that take place on an ongoing basis in the build-up towards the provincial walks on the first Sunday of October, and then we also have a national walk on the first Sunday of October. So, Madam Chair, it's not only confined to national walks, it happens in every province, and in some provinces it's not on the same day, they also have it in their districts and in other localities that they find where they need to get people more active in terms of the healthy lifestyles programs. Okay. One more thing, Madam Chair, I think there was an issue around Casa Semenya. I think that also, Madam Chair, we have come brought before the former committee. Just to indicate, government has provided support to the Casa Semenya the case. We have a team of medical experts, and we have a team of legal experts. And we've also had a mobilization campaign, Madam Chair, to support Castor because with regards to what is happening to her, it is against the human rights regulatory framework. It's against human rights as a whole. Even the UN has supported us in this fight against what's happening to her in terms of her DSD. And she has now lodged an appeal, and we are waiting for the final hearings to take place. At present, she has not, it has come before the Swiss court as well, who had overturned the initial decision of the Court of Arbitration for Sport, where then it allowed her temporarily to participate in some of the events. But, Madam Chair, we are still on track looking at the case and providing support, working with her own legal team as well, so that when she gets now to the next round, we will be there to support her. Madam Chair, I'm making an appeal again for us to present the details of this case once again to this committee.
I'm having a few follow-ups. transformation scorecard. When we're talking about a school sports program, it reminds me of that a transformation scorecard in other sport codes did assist, and I'm not sure whether you were not supposed to tell us and indicate about each code, how far are they in the scorecards on transformation. But I can confirm that I'm from in one of the province and biggest regions. I've always seen the work in OR Tambo, as from your Kumbu, wherever. It's happening in rural areas, this big work. But we need sometimes to brief each other, and we need that provinces through the municipalities, because I've seen it cascaded down to the district. I've seen it happening, but I'm worried about maybe next time, I don't know, because we want a detailed information about the transformation scorecard, because they were having even themselves the targets, and others they've met the targets, others they are getting there, and also want a detail about this thing of a copter and a transformation on or infrastructure, because one other time they were complaining that the department is thinking that it's a big brother to themselves, when we wanted as a committee and the department that they must account about the 15% that were giving themselves. They've reacted even in a meeting. We need a full briefing. How far are they? But so far, I'm suspecting that if we can get the last round of follow-ups, I've seen Honorable Mzongo and Honorable Siebe. I'm not yet have full information about this the conduct of sports tourism, as this committee never ever engaged on that information. We are not having it. I've just recently seen that the Department of Tourism, maybe they can even gallop and as a committee of sport remain behind, because we'll never ever discuss about this part of the sport. Really, we want to have a full information about it. Honorable Mkhlongo, Honorable Siebe, Honorable O, Honorable Mkhlongo, Honorable Madlingos, Honorable Knox.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I would propose that we must have an Excel spreadsheet whereby if the department tells us that they will bring this document, you must have a tracking system, in a sense that they've just claimed that they will give us advertisement and that we'll need those newspapers. And when you check, Chairperson, for us to an oversight and a genuine, diligent work, last time when I joined the department, there were 24 outstanding positions. 24. I still have the report. And today, you only stated two new positions. Now, it shows there's a gap. And it's clear, if you don't tell us what is the challenge, we cannot understand, and we are not making us happy for us to work. And obviously, we'll have actors. We'll be acting soon. We'll have actors in the department. And it shows that there's an impact. If we have actors or have less, more human resources, there are challenges. Now, one of the things that I would like to, I think I'll propose that, and not only on that, I think let's not play with terms. You know the youth camp, we must know exactly what does
the department does and what does the, what is this thing that I don't like?
Love life.
40 million for Love Life. How much for the department? And give us a schedule. This is our responsibility for Love Life. This is the department responsibility. This is the budget. This is the budget for Love Life. Quarterly. And then you'll measure that there's a duplication of work. And we'll pump up money for Love Life, but the outcome is, in fact, you cannot even measure it. It's questionable. Another proposal, Chair, especially on your report on EPG, tend to focus on the five play major sports. But I think we must go down. You know, your softball, there's no transformation in softball, and it's questionable. I'm not saying only softball, I'm just making an example. They've been allocated 10 million from the department. What are they doing about it? We don't get that feedback. I think in the next meeting we must have exactly on EPG on different sporting codes, not only on the actual that we usually consider. I think I'm covered here on the follow-up question that I wanted to do. Unless, yeah, I'll go to the hot potato issue.
Honorable Mhlongo has touched on what I wanted to touch based on how else must we know that there is change within our societies, more like are there some reports even from newspapers, you know, to say that this is what has happened and everything else. And I guess if there could be that information being given to us, and more like it's nice to come in and explain this is what has happened and all that. And I was not talking about the big walk and all that and the camps in that way, but the society within our region. Yes, it is happening in every region, but in each region the poor and better you know societies is the focus on all you know communities, or is it only based on certain communities because they are seen to be knowing what is going on more than anything else. And you talked about the being you know the a teacher that understands the physical training, you know, within the young and all that. And I still maintain that we need to have you know, from the basics of education, even in our schools, we need to have swimming pools. Last time it was ridiculed that, you know, there's no money to buy a swimming pool, you know, as if it was just, you know, a dream. But that dream could be a reality if we can have all these, you know, rural and even township schools to have such facilities where we will have, you know, people from these communities being the champions within the Olympic spaces and everything. As Chair has mentioned that we need to have a very clear and full report as to what is going on, the change of everything that is happening. And, yes, I don't think the reshuffling of the government and everything else will hamper us into delivering what we need to be done. Seriously, what needs to be done can be done with different heads changing, you know, themselves within the head departments. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Thanks, Chair. I think from outside one would see an opportunity in the merger of the two departments, especially in terms of capacity. And if the department can also, and when I talk department this time, I'm talking Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, if it can see that opportunity so that we're able to streamline our activities. Because for me, it would be worrisome if we continue with a particular program for some time, but we don't know whether that program is making an impact, whether that program is delivering positively towards the vision of the powers that be. It will really create a problem. Now, the school sports chair, I don't know whether the Department of Basic Education sits there and the Department of Sports sits there, and everyone is waiting like a traffic cop to say, I will see whether I'm invited to a meeting one day, or whether there's a program, a planned, conscious program to say, we're engaging one another until we make sure that we realize the implementation of the MOU. Because it's worrisome, Chairperson, if you say, since the days of Minister Mbalula, as a Minister of Sports, we've been talking about this, but nothing is happening. And the DDG also says, when we develop our performance agreements, there's a discrepancy there between the Department of the DG of Department of Sports and the DG of Department of Education. Now, looking at it from outside, it means there's no programmatic there's no commitment to make sure that this program goes as it is. Therefore, the Department of Sports will blame basic education, and the basic education will also possibly blame the Department of Sports. And Chair, as part of our program, we say we're going to have a joint meeting, both portfolio committees. So we'll need more information around that. Some of us are new, we don't have the document, the MOU. If we can be favored with that so that we're able to take the matter forward, because that is key in contributing towards sports development and to an extent sports transformation. Chair, if you allow me, I would request just a briefing, if it's possible, on the launching of the Women's Professional Soccer League, because it was the minister talked about it at some stage, and also progress with regards to the discussion with SABC, if it's possible, on the soccer blackouts, if it's possible. Thanks.
Members, I'm suspecting we've really got so much in our hands, and some of the things are not in this briefing. But if you can, or if there are those other issues that we're asking, we will even want that the documents must be given. Honorable Knox, you reminded me of this SABC progress issue. It once happened, and unfortunately, when we called everybody, it was the representation of SABC that
couldn't come in that meeting, but we are hoping this is sixth parliament. Department.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, let me just indicate the issue of the transformation report. I think it's a very comprehensive one, and we'll be remiss if we try and respond to it today. I'm requesting that we bring it back to the committee at another time. We'll give you a full presentation. We note the issue around sports tourism. There is also work that we have information. We have information on that, the contribution we've made, so we can provide that information as well. Mr. Mushlongo, we note the comments. We will provide information of where the posts were advertised, and also indicate, you know, from those 24 that are standing and the state of this session. Love Life, Madam Chairperson, you will recall they have historically been asked to come and also report to the portfolio committee, but we will also provide some report in terms of our relationship, what funding, the SLAs that we sign with them, and how the funding is spent that we provide to them. Our major codes, Madam Chair, just to indicate, in the transformation charter, we focus on 19 codes of sport. All 19 codes provide us with the information, the scorecards, the sheets, the report sheets, etc., that help us then to come up with the full transformation report. So it's not only focusing on the 5 codes of sport. So we will provide that as part of the report as well. We note the request from colleague Madeline Wolsey for us to provide information or to actually see what coverage, media coverage, we have around the events that are run out and where they run out, because we do get reports from the provinces as well, mm-hmm. So we will be able to provide that information. Swimming pools, championships, colleagues and members, I think we must be mindful of the fact that in a swimming pool, yes, to build it it comes at great expense. Maintenance of swimming pools are also at great expense. Whilst we may not give every school a swimming pool, I think there are initiatives historically that we've been looking at where there is municipal swimming pools that are placed in such a way that there's easy access for schools to get to those municipal swimming pools. But it also requires partnerships with the Swimming South Africa so that there's learn to swim practitioners that are trained, so that they can teach water safety, they can teach swimming, give swimming lessons to young people, etc. So those are some of the interventions we can work with the federation. But the provision of swimming pools to every school may not be an ideal. Already schools don't have enough space for basic infrastructure like a football field or a netball field. And our intervention has been those combi courts that go into the school so that it gives access to schools to participate in some of the basic codes of sport like football, netball, volleyball, basketball, etc. But I think we must look at other solutions of how we address the issue of, yes, it is a life skill, swimming is a life skill. Yes, it is informed by the number of young people that get drowned each year in rivers and dams and the beaches, etc. So swimming and water safety is a life skill, and we do take that very seriously, Madam Chair. We note also the opportunities. We already see it, Honourable Member, that we do see the opportunity. In fact, we've already started working with two partners already are working together in terms of how we coordinate. And we're already seeing value out of those opportunities as well. Again, we also note the impact on delivery of the school sport program. As I indicated, Madam Chair, we do have a joint national task team and joint the national. We have a joint task team at the national level, and we have a joint provincial and national task team for school sport. So there is an MOU, there are plans in place that we work with together to deliver on it. It has its challenges, but I don't think there's a situation where somebody is waiting for the other to deliver. There are challenges, but there is a plan in place of how the teams work together.
With regard to, we know the sports MOU that we want to present, and we also support the idea of a joint team between portfolio committees so that both education and sport can present on the school sport issues. And Madam Chair, for the record, the Women's Football League is going to be launched tomorrow at South by 12 o'clock. They're hoping to start the league on the 24th. That's the information that has, 24th of August, that's the information that has been provided to us. I'm going to ask DG to speak about the SABC blackout.
And now, thanks very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the issue of maybe just to take from the issue of the women's sport, we just would like to emphasize the football league of the women. That Minister had assigned that we meet with, we met with both the Deputy President of SAFA, Ms. Alia Dwaba, as well as the Acting CEO, Mr. Russell Paul, on this matter. So that Minister wanted them to provide the department with a sustainability plan so that this is not a flash in a pan and collapses in a year or two. That is based on understanding the issue of whether there are sponsors to this league and whether how much budget is available to this league so that it is sustainable. And then that business plan is what we are working with them, and we're still waiting for that business plan, which will assure government that when then the commitment of 5 million rands per year that Minister has made on behalf of government to support this noble initiative is not throwing the money on a program that is going to die later. And that is what indeed the Deputy President and the Acting CEO have promised they will submit. That is a condition that Minister has made clear will inform the release of the commitment that we have made of the 5 million rand, not 50. I must emphasize, it was in the newspapers, was the misinformation of this 50. We don't know where it came from. But it's 5 million rand per annum, per financial year. So we're working with them, indeed they presented to us, but we need that sustainability model and plan to sustain into perpetuity this league. On the issue of the blackout, the minister has, again, taken this matter quite as a matter of national interest. I think everybody will understand this affects millions. This is the number one sport in the country. And therefore then he had prioritized meeting all the key stakeholders. That meeting that they are arranging and having with the Minister of Communications and Digital Technology is took place first with the SAPC. In that meeting, SAPC presented their reasons for the statement in from their perspective. Yesterday, in Parliament, here in the Minister's office, the chairperson of PSL, Dr. Akosa, came together with the chairperson of MultiChoice, Mr. Intas Patel, and the CEO of MultiChoice. And there was a meeting that took place yesterday where, again, Minister emphasized the urgency for resolving this matter, but also then the need to hear what exactly is the cause for the statement. Both the chairperson, Dr. Khoza, as well as MultiChoice presented their side of what they believe is the root cause of the problem. Then the decision of yesterday was that because all parties agreed that this is extremely urgent, then meeting which she has done for tomorrow afternoon at 5 here in Parliament, that they are prepared to come back here. But there is a need to have SAPC in that meeting, because you can't solve a problem in a partisan way. There is a need for all parties to be in one room. So now that the department have got all the sides given their reasons for the stalemate, it is now imperative that that meeting takes place. And that meeting is confirmed for tomorrow. The Minister of Education has to engage with the minister this afternoon because it is a collaborative effort. And we are hoping that tomorrow, the comment was that until whatever hours, but the resolution must be found. So we remain positive that all parties will be able to come with an intention to resolve the matter. And should everything go well, we should be able to get the communication by our ministers on the way forward around the matter. But at this stage, I can't divulge any details because, as they've been saying on all sides, it's public interest, clashing with private interest, issues of commercial values that you have to deal with. So it's quite a complex matter. There needs to be, the engagements must be treated with sensitivity so that there is no attempt to have one party digging heels, but to find an amicable solution that will benefit all South Africans, particularly the soccer lovers. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much about this information, because I was worried last time there was this ICASA bill that was having to be public hearings on it, but this intervention will assist us as public representatives, that everyone asking, what are you doing about this? As we are just saying that the soccer, like any other sport, but you know the soccer in South Africa, we'll wait and hear the results of tomorrow. But thanks for the initiative as a department. When I'm about to come to this Honorable Mhlongo's hot potato discussion, next time please come and report it to us. I'm suspecting there are so many things that you're asking about the national netball, which is 2023. I'm suspecting being members here in this is the host province, we need now to start to engage the provincial government here in order that as these members, we must fast track, or we must have an insight preparations. But without our national department briefing us, we can't just go to that terrain. But we want to check, because some of us being sport loving a woman also, they once called me the leaks here. They were having so much problems, but of course they must hold their horses until I've got the information and the committee. Sometimes when people, they are knowing that you are a chairperson, they will always want you to give information. So I was not having that information, but they are starting to have some problems. But I've said, come the 6th Parliament, the people who will be here, they will get information from the department, and the committee will each and every now have an oversight and to call them to brief us, and so prepare a document for us in order that we must also assist. We know there are serious problems that I've heard, but I'm not confirming that they are very serious until we get information. Honorable members, I know that everyone who's here in this room, he or she's a loving South African sport somebody. Sport in South Africa is supposed, like maybe in other countries, to prioritize that vision of sport without budget, without a government prioritizing it. I'm suspecting we cannot do away with other some very pertinent issues. We can take the whole day and 2 days if we were in the in the order of sport. That sport in Daba, Honorable Frongan and the others, and Honorable Boy, we need that sport in Daba that must come, but we need to have our own stretch plan to plan when we're going to that sport in Daba to be ready. So by those words, let me thank the officials of the department who have presented, your bosses was there away, and there are outstanding information that I'm suspecting as we are taking our notes, and the office is taking that in order that they must remind, and your good sir, you were taking notes of the information that we want. The second Honorable Mansu was when the president has spoken, not your chairperson. I'm not a president. We're not supposed to speak even in your organization, but because this is our committee, I was doing a roundup last comments, because when I said, can you take the last round, but because that's your committee, I cannot not to say something. I'm giving you that opportunity. We are now that that was on the line. I was thinking that I'm rounding up so I can open it, because that's their committee. But next time we must listen when Chairperson saying that the last comment. But Umhlongo will be saying that, hey, this is not your committee, it's our committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just being, I'm worried that this is the committee that our voices will be heard, and I'm thinking that the next time that we meet together, it will be another next time, like months or whatever. As you have said, Chairperson, the word will be like, there'll be another meeting where we'll deliberate on other issues, but the issue of the water and the black kid is very important in me, and I'm sure in terms of what every year, Chairperson, young black kids are dying, drowning, and it is not an issue that we can just shy away from. It is because that the water and the black kid is not taken seriously from the fundamental education. I think it is very important that the department sees to it that the swimming is as important as saving a lot of these young kids. We're talking about future presidents, future heads of state here. And if they are going to die because of not having the basic requirements being shied away. There can never be a just a blanket solution that, you know, let's help the kids to go to a community pool to go and learn up the film. It should be just like a hobby, but it has got to be a serious thing that they go there and take that information and do that as a very serious, like as one of the subjects, you know. It's like this rugby thing. I grew up here in Cape Town, and my brother's father was a flyman of Western Province, Umajunguz, Prescott Umajunguz. I'm sure you would know. You know, it was never encouraged in our school that rugby was a black a white sport, but today we have policies that are there, you know, in the field, and because they have been introduced into the game. So I believe also swimming could be part of that too. Thank you.
Water and kids. But nonetheless, I understand our colleague. I think maybe we must start asking ourselves, do we know how to swim here in this place? Then we go for lessons and then we go out. But nonetheless, Chair, I'm not out of order. I thought we were going to get a second round for the, not water and the kids, but SAFA and SASCOC. Because they spoke about it. Can I ask a question now?
I'm watching the presentation. I've said let's start with our own presentation and then we'll come to the staff and just talk. But I can give you assurance that I was a girl guide girl, and when I was in Mariazell High School, it's where that I've started to see the water, and I was trained. And in Mpeko, there were no swimming pool. It was in rural areas, no water in the municipality, no infrastructure. In Lusikisiki, at Kaukeng, where also I grew, in Botaskau, there were no pools and there were no water and. I can say that I do feel that what the response that I'm hearing, where municipalities they do have capacity to have swimming pools and water, the people who are training people to swim, I was trained, I saved lives because I've started. Could you believe when I was in high school, I started to get lessons because where I grew, there was a challenge. So I'm saying that we are aware that we're coming from very different areas, but where there are swimming pools in locations, and we encourage the department to do so. But the problem of the infrastructure and municipality and copter, we must also emphasize those things, that there are things that the department, whilst they do want to do, they cannot. I'm citing examples about myself. I get to have lessons when I was in high school. And thank you so much about that. We want that our kids learn to swim, because sometimes drowned kids, when they are with our people who are looking after themselves, even those who do have pools, will get that the kid was drowned in a pool. Those people who are staying where they are resources. So by this time, we did have a briefing by the DG. The Sasco, the Morocco team,
whilst we are not going to get to other outstanding issue of Ustas of course we're still going to get the written report today. Let's focus on what we've asked briefing about it. Can I take now hands to do something like asking questions, advices to our department, because when they are here, they are not here only to give us answers, but we must also bring leaders to propose and suggest. That's the time for that. They are targeting other players. Now we are Chisa.
Thanks, Chair. You know, Chairperson, I think one of the opening statements, the presidency that the minister or acting minister or the minister has said is fair. And then I need it's an advice book, let's not set that presidency. In a sense, I don't even want to define the word interference or intervention, because you define it differently. And if there's a law, why don't you follow the law? If SASCOC is the head of all sports, why not? Why do we treat PSL or SAFA as partisan? PSL even today failed to come to this house, or we fail as the government to make them to account what happened with Stampede FNP 2017. We failed. Even the president failed because we thought the president would issue commission of inquiry. We failed our people, irrespective of that, that too. We failed our people, in fact. Now I'm saying this is a presidency, especially with soccer. Yes, the majority sports in court, but we treat them like lovers. You know, I protect my wife so much that no one can come in. Now it's so bad, especially in the field of this is a public domain, it's not a family issue. I'm saying this because I know the way the department, not individuals here, but the government, politically, we are afraid of SAFA and PSL. I told them last time the president Khoza was here. Why I'm saying that there was, you know, you question after hearing this chairperson that SAFA went there. They knew that they were not given permission, but they went before. Now it tells us that they told themselves that yes, we know, we can even cater for ourselves. I wanted to find out how much was the department allocated for SASCOC to host the African game, because that is your poverty, that you must cater for African games. It's government. How much was it allocated to give it to SAF? Now, why I'm saying that, because I know how much was it, and that money was only catered, they called all sporting coach chairpersons, but SAFA, because by us or by Asajwa, they told themselves, good to know, we'll do our own will. Now, it's not a problem of SASCOC. It's a problem of us as the government to be partisan or to take care of our brothers and sisters. Or because they belong to an ex-organization, you tend to be afraid of them. Chairperson, the letter that the minister wrote, I analyze it. It has legal implication. And I think, like you said, that I have that letter. And I wish to advise, as you are saying, you must even advise. Now, the minister is not here. I think the minister must come and account exactly what happened. Because you can ask yourself, they were there. Now, where did they get the money? You spoke of $2. I'm specifically on what I heard, not on the newspapers. What I heard in this house. $2 for each. Who wrote the letter for them to be accepted? It's not the minister was telling SASCOC. Who wrote the letter for them to be accepted? Because the letter must come from SASCOC. But it shows that it's a brotherly love. Kev wrote the letter. Imagine. Imagine. I'm just saying, now who instructed Kev? Someone, somewhere. Now, Chairperson, I think we are failing, especially the important game of soccer. We are failing soccer as the government. I'm saying we. I'm including myself, but we are failing soccer because we are afraid of SAFA, to make sure that they align themselves to the standard of the process. There was selection criteria. They did not, it was agreed that we'll take this pool. SAFA was represented. But outside, because they know better than the SASCOC, they undermine the leadership, they've undermined our leadership here as the government. Now, I want to raise a concern about it. How much was SAFA and how much did the government give SAFA outside the location, if there was, outside the location that they gave SASCOC? And you know, we are told, this is a newspaper chain, we are told that SAFA, the athletes, they went to a wonderful five-star hotel compared to ordinary delegates that from SASCOC. Now it shows that you are taking them as superstars or world-class citizen, which is questionable in my understanding. And Chair, I don't want to delay this. I think the minister must come and engage because he must account here. I wanted to raise that this. I'll define the word interference and intervention. This is, to me, my definition of interference. And I've issued even a statement because they went there already, but without an approval, they knew that they'll get a gradually come. Thank you.
Honourable members, I must, as the former chairperson of this committee, I won't agree with the first input of Honourable Mhlongo. What he has got a right when the stampede occurred, as this chairperson of the committee, we called all the stakeholders. And on that meeting, it was clear that it was not PSL, it was not SAFA who made that stampede. That's why, as was sitting here, was saying that the first striking of the bill of SASRIA, in that meeting, we all agreed that there are gaps. And fortunately and unfortunately, both of us were in that committee. We started by PSL to give us the information that what are they doing when there is a match. The involvement of all those stakeholders whom we did invite, we discovered that there are gaps in most of themselves. And we resolved that they must go and do something. We started with our own department. That's SASRIA. You cannot have a role to look after the stampede. What is the role when we are going to have a board that we are going to look after the incidents happened? We have said, let's start with our good self. Let's go and amend what is in the SASRIA. That's why today we're talking about that amendment, because it was wrong. Also, we asked the police, did call the commissioner of the police with a joint committee of police in this parliament. We discovered that there's no rule saying that when we have about 50 or 20 or 30 thousand people in the stadium, how many police must be there. But the first culprit that we have identified, unfortunately, they didn't even acknowledge and come to the meeting, is the management of the stadium. Because the ball was with them, and they've told us, according to the plans, when there's a match, that PSL will take their plans of the matches and they must go to the stadium management and all other parties, they must formulate and
charge against the stampede. Stampede there, which was so it was only the I can't say watchmen, marshals. They were having batons, marshals, very few. When we were looking at the police, they were very few. We were all those stakeholders agreed that we must go and correct the way that we're doing. And I'm not talking about this thing of SASCOC and SAFA of Morocco, because we're just being reported, and correctly so, if they cannot take answers, we'll wait for the minister. But I'm talking about the stampede which happened. As we are here, we said the next parliament will call all those stakeholders that were there on that day to come and present that do they have now prevention measurements. Because as the department, disaster must be fast-tracking order that when loving people of South Africa going to watch a match, they must not be killed. So I'm saying, I'm reporting on that when we are here, we did call all stakeholders, and the commissioner of police couldn't tell us whether they do have something saying that when the fully-fledged stadium, they need to have so much police. They can even have 3 to 5 police. How are you going to look at the crowd of that nature? So as we're sitting here, we'll be having with this new committee a follow-up of the report, because you said we have noticed and we have heard that UPSL, they did come, USAFA, they did come, the Commission of Police, they did come, the Department of Sport and Recreation, they did come, the Committee of Police, because we're all concerned. But when we get there, we're seeing that each and every partner has got a role. But unfortunately, the people who called the board of the stadium, they couldn't come, and they couldn't even have an apology. So I'm saying, I'm suspecting we are taking what Honorable Longo is saying, that minister must come. But I cannot comment further. I want to explain the part of the stampede, and then I can give it to you, DG, if you feel like responding on the allegations that Honorable Longo is putting on. He has got a right even to issue statement. I've said when I'm opening, I couldn't answer the media people because I was not having information on hand, and I couldn't issue the statement on behalf of the committee. I wanted this day, and if the feelings that even the minister must come and report, but I must report the part. We have minutes. That meeting was recorded. Both committees of parliament were in the meeting. We called an urgent meeting immediately that stampede occurred. DG?
Point of the Chair. Before the DG comes in. Chair, I want us to make it clear, as you said, we must discuss SASCOC, not stampede. I was just making an example to say we failed. And you know why I'm saying raising this agency? Chair, we agreed, it's minuted that the committee of the previous term, we agreed that there must be an inquiry. It's minuted and was budgeted for. It started. At a later stage, it was hold. It was put on hold, in fact. It was iced or it was packed that we'll ask the president. We failed. They came and they told us that the inquiry will not go on, but we'll ask the president to do a commission. We failed. That's what I'm saying. Because of brotherly sister love. Thank you. Especially on soccer. Why do we have
inquiry on SASCO, we don't have inquiry on SOCA.
I was thinking that you are contributing, not responding. I was responding on your questions and allegations, but now it can't be one-on-one because other members, they were not in the committee. But exactly that I'm saying that we waited and we even said the coming parliament will get the report, as now we are saying the report, the first report in our own government is that Section 76 must be implemented, correcting the SASRIA with others. As I'm sitting here, I'm not yet having any information of that inquiry, hoping that this term will be getting that, because we left without having, but we've done what we're supposed to do as a committee. And so far, I'm thinking that as a committee, we didn't fail, because we call everybody, and as we're sitting here, we need to get that report. And I'm suspecting that the present ministry will come and report to this committee in order that this committee must engage and see now whether can this again happen. We were not discussing Stampede, but by virtue of opening statement, I was saying that let's clear in order that we must not engage on something that we are not yet having a full report after what we've done. Did you?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think the department, we must put on record when this matter was being addressed, there was no brother or sister being considered. There was a vested interest on who is the greatest victim if this thing goes forward in the way in which it was in the two parties at loggerheads. At that time, I can assure you, no one has raised the issue of who is the brother, who is the sister in this matter. It was clearly a matter of what interests were going to be affected negatively and to what ramifications. Hence, there were clear parameters within which the minister engaged in this matter, the minister. Even in that letter, there is a section of the act that was quoted, which was enabling the minister at the time of dealing with the dispute, what guided the minister, and the minister. It is dangerous, it would have been dangerous for the department to use weather mode on whether to favor SASCO or favor SASCO, because the department's interest cannot be measured against weather living conditions. To say, is it the child that will suffer here? Is it the leadership of SASCO or is it the leadership of SASCO? So we would like to really appeal that we will allow the opportunity, as the Honorable Nhlongo has indicated, that the minister will provide further details on this matter. Let's dispel the myth that there was, in one way or the other, an intention to have some favoritism or bias towards one party or the other. I mentioned there were three interests that were at stake in this matter. It is, according to my knowledge, inaccurate to allege that the matter was then driven, the appeal, the registration was then done by any other party other than SASCO. Even in the letter, the last paragraph of the letter says that SASCO must then liaise with SAF on resolving this matter. And my information indicates that the whole process then of appeal and the process of payment of not $2,
$2,000 per team. That was communicated by us, by SASCO. I don't have information that any other party wrote the appeal letter, that any other party other than SASCO paid, facilitated the payment of that registration fee. We can only promise that if we find that there's such information, we'll advise the committee accordingly. But as of now, it is our submission and understanding that the whole process was not taken away from SASCO. It remained within the parameters of SASCO as the only authoritative body. MISA only intervened to say allow the teams to participate due to the interests I have mentioned, particularly the interests of the child, that I think all members here in this house have always said is paramount. In the Constitution, paramount the right of the child. And I think we'll then balance things on what legislatively can department or minister do. And guided by that process, that is what happened. We remain committed to recognize and respect the authority of SASCO. Thanks.
Honorable members, if we were aware that there are or there is a member who's not happy, that we must get a briefing without the minister, next time we must just indicate, because now we're about to engage on what we've been asked. Once we're aware that there's no minister or deputy minister, but I'm suspecting that the minister will be getting this request, but thanks for the information, because as we were saying, that some of us, we don't just take issues of legislation and issues of national importance from the media, that they cannot come here and clarify. That's why I was saying that let's be privileged to have that information. The information is in front of us, and if there is an asking that minister must come, we are hoping that the committee itself will write the letter in behalf of the committee, but the office is here. We'll open this when the minister comes back. I've seen members.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to respond to the issue of the budget and the funding. Madam Chair, there was an issue of whether we had given SASCO money for this African Games. Let me indicate that our allocation to SASCO is only for women's football and for school sport. So those are the only two areas that we fund SASCO on. So, and they cannot bring films, they cannot bring it to any other funds. So that's the only. With regard to SASCOC, Madam Chair, SASCOC, administratively, we have not yet transferred money to them because there are outstanding issues that we still dealing with. And even within their budget, we don't allocate for a specific purpose. They would give us a business plan, Madam Chair, and in line with that, the expenditure would then be in line with that business plan. And as indicated, administratively,
about what you are saying, fortunately, we have the on the 28th that we called SASCO, and then even a department, whilst we will be wanting a report. In our former meetings, we are aware that we are having this problem of the monies, and the SASCO one told us that don't give them the budget and you raise what we are raising. So we are keen to get this report in order that on the 28th, let's engage SASCO and you as a department. There's a follow-up question on
it. Sure, not all information I got from the media from this meeting. You've just stated that always went there before while there was a dispute. I heard it from you, not from the media, unless I didn't hear you clearly. You said that boys went there while there was a dispute. Now, it's not a media. Now, I'm saying when you analyze that, and I can question Sascock later, it's not a media, it's you who said that. Now, it shows that you cannot fly to Cape Town while you know you don't have accommodation. It's common sense. You knew that someone will mark a plan. No, it's common sense. How can you fly to Cape Town? You know that they didn't have accommodation for you. You fly, and we still have a problem to say, don't fly, but you fly. And I didn't get from the media, I got it from here in this meeting. I wanted to make clear. And one thing I wanted to find out is African game, privilege of government to host, if we can understand that. Now, if it's that, that's what I'm saying, it is in my knowledge, little that I have, which you can correct me, it is a priority for this government to host. And when you host, you must have a budget. And when you ring-fence it, you must say, for African game, it's this amount. Irrespective that you transfer it or not. Now, don't be technical to me saying, no, we have if you are the host, you must say, this is X amount, which has been ring-fenced for this specific game. I'm asking that question as a follow-up charity. There must be an amount. Unless you are not the actual, it's not your priority to do that. And then I'll take it from there. Thanks.
I wanted to check with the committee. Honorable Songo was proposing that minister must come. Can maybe, I'm not protecting you, but if you can answer, but you must be aware that I'm seeing other members holding arms, because I was thinking that when we were saying that we want a minister, maybe we're not certified by the briefing or the responses. I'm not sure now what I'm doing, what am I chairing. There is an something saying that you have briefed us, you said ABC, but one minister to come in account. I'm seeing another hand before you respond. Honorable Knox.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think it shows that the committee members need more information. I would suggest, Chair, that maybe after the department has responded, we just, like Mr. Honorable Mutlongo suggested, get a full report, because for now it should be like an ambush, because we just requested a briefing, and when we have a full report, that's when we can go into details and ask questions. Otherwise, if we depend on prior information, some of us who were not there will be deactivated. But if we have a full report, all of us can participate. Thanks, Chair.
Unfortunately, with this part, we're not all there. It's an incident that happened a week ago, which was discussed. So that's why I'm saying that it's correct when Honorable Mutlongo is saying that a minister must come, because we wanted that, can they give us information, because we have seen this, and we have our deputy minister who's presenting us there as a country. But as correctly so, what we are saying, it's okay that we do take that request that the minister must come and brief us fully whilst we did have this briefing from the minister's office, because we couldn't ambush them. We asked them, can they brief what is going on, because it's on media, and some of us who have been called by media
because we are disciplined cadres of this parliament. We don't just respond on things that we don't have facts. And our, even now, the minister asked to be excused because he's attending the cabinet. But the office is here. He did brief us, but there is a request that a full briefing must be given by minister. I'm taking it, and Honorable Knox is headed that. I supported what Honorable Mhlong was saying, and even Honorable Knox, but some questions that are following after we have agreed that we can call minister. But if you want to say something, we cannot not allow you, because you have information, but there is a request of the minister.
Chair, I just want us to be clear about roles and responsibilities. In terms of the South African Sports and Recreation Act, the role of SASPOC is very clear in terms of team preparation for major multi-sport games. So we've got to take full responsibility for that. So as yes. Okay, sorry. I'm saying, Madam Chair, in terms of the South African Sport and Recreation Act, roles and responsibility are quite clear. The role of SASPOC is to prepare causes of sport and to deliver our team South Africa to multi-causal sports event. The African Games is one such multi-causal sports event. Yes, it is driven by the African Union, and we play our role as well. In the funding that we give to SASPOC, part of it in terms of their business plan may be allocated to different multi-sport games. But as a government, we are responsible for paying for the registration of our game, of our athletes participating at the games. And we work with SASPOC, who will provide us the details of athletes and the numbers and the delegation so that we can calculate what that registration fee would be, and we would pay that registration fee. And obviously, any support that the minister is there, and obviously major, our deputy minister is at the games, because all these major events also are used to where our ministers then have their ministers meetings, the council of ministers meetings, etc., on the sidelines of the game. So from outside of government, our responsibility is very clear. We are not hosting the games this year, Madam Chair. We are sending our team to a host country, which is Morocco, and our responsibilities are clear in what we need us to do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just the last thing, then, the issue of hosting, I think, is clear. Just to be technical, as the Honourable Mhlong Njomane have said, just to say that when I said they were en route to Morocco, both are ordered now to establish this fact, so we do not say we misled Parliament. They had gathered on the first request of the intervention. They were already gathered in the camp, and they were already in a hotel and having all their visa preparation ready to depart, and not yet left the shores of South Africa. So they were just en route and having assumed that they would be traveling. So it is, I think it will help to give us an opportunity to provide all the details on this matter, as indicated earlier, Chair.
On that note, members.
Chairperson? Sorry. Mhlong. Now, the statement that he said it was wrong, you are correcting yourself. Because you stated, firstly, that they were there while there was a dispute. Unless I did not hear you, but now you are correcting yourself. Can we clear that a little?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think as a Chairperson, you said
we need the minister to come and account. I think, can we close this matter? And it's not in the agenda, or not on the agenda, but just a minute, Mr. Trump, can you respect me? I think if we need the minister to come and account to us, let us not discuss this matter, so that the minister can come and account. I think maybe our secretary of this committee has heard that this committee needs a full report so that they can write to the minister requesting a full report so that it can be presented to us so that we can engage. Now we're engaging some of these matters that from the news. Some we're hearing it for the first time from the department. So can we be given an opportunity where the full report, it will be tabled to us so that we can debate on something that even tomorrow we can bind them because it is in writing. Thank you, Chair. Let's close this matter.
We are the fourth person, the person who asked that the minister must come. It was Mr. Mbong, and I supported that, and Honorable Knox supported that. Now, we are coming to the end of the today's meeting. Thank you so much.
I'm not. You know, one of the things that it seems like I didn't push this item on the agenda. I didn't even change the agenda. I came late. I need a clarity on what the DG was saying. Only that.
Honorable Mshong, I've closed the meeting because of your request, and we do respect your request. The meeting is closed. Thank you.
Not only the way to be a part of the
It was my last day.